Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment.
This is a pre-recorded episode, so we're not going to be talking about the week of wrestling. We are taking this opportunity to talk about a specific match type. We've already done on Good Cop Bad Cop. We've already done ladder matches. We've already done the Royal Rumble match. This one, I gave Mr. Charlotte a choice, and he chose the Hell in the Cell match.
Good, bad, good, bad, good, bad, good.
Okay, guys, welcome back to another excellent episode of Good Cop Bad Cop. I say it before we even started the show because I know how good it's going to be. Because, as always, unfortunately, at the moment, we have no Graham doing the live with me. I am joined by someone who I am very proud to call a friend and arguably my protege because I got him started in podcasting. Welcome to Good Cop Bad Cop, Mr. Zachary Charlotte Esquire.
Thank you very much, man. I appreciate it. Yeah, I actually am one of your proteges to a certain degree or another. I remember you actually bringing me on Mad Attack. What was it? For
it was Extreme Rules.
Backlash last year, originally. Yeah. And then after that, it was you and me and Joshy Boy from the now departed.
No. You're wrong on that one. It was you, me, and Josh for what to end up being, I think, Money in the Bank in the end. Because
Money in the Bank, excuse me.
And then...
Yeah, you went to WrestleMania and then you found out and you were pissed.
I was.
Oh, God, man.
I was dragging about for that, yeah. But then, of course, I had you back again for I believe it was a War Games.
It was me and Mason.
You and Mason, and it was fantastic to have you, who was just starting your podcasting career, with ironically the guy who got me back into podcasting. So it literally was kind of the first. Ironically, you know, he's the youngest, which is bizarre. But
Bad.
Go listen to This Good Cop Moment, the King of Wrestling podcast, the number one source for independent wrestling. You can listen to him on all major podcast platforms. If you do listen on Apple Podcasts, go give him a 5-star rating and go follow him on Twitter as well at KOWP Show. All right, don't forget, if you want to catch the best indie wrestling action as well, don't forget to go and check out powerslam.tv. And if you use code GOODCOPBADCOP, all lowercase, then you can get 30 days free.
Good! Bad!
On day of record, Hell in a Cell pay-per-view is about 14 hours away. So That'll be interesting to see if anything comes up on that side of things and if we get it right or wrong, because this is not coming out on release day, obviously, so we'll find out. Anyway, so, Mr. Shiloh, we will go now to the Good Cop moments. What is your favourite thing about the Hell in a Cell match?
Well, my favourite thing about the general Hell in a Cell match, I would say, is that they usually tend to be feud enders. Sometimes we actually do get feuds that have been way too extended. So we need to get to a point where we can say, all right, let's get away from somebody like a Triple H versus Undertaker for a while and go on to somebody like a Undertaker versus Shawn Michaels instead.
Accurate. Absolutely accurate. I'm thinking of perfect ways to end feuds. Absolutely. Thinking of ones like Mick Foley being sent off the cell, obviously twice in one match, which is insane. I'm thinking I wasn't even a wrestling fan at that point. Hell in a Cell in general, it's a feud ender, absolutely, and that is the best part about it. What are some of your favorite matches in Hell in a Cell then? What things stand out to you?
Ooh, the best Hell in a Cells that I've ever watched, I would say Triple H versus Shawn Michaels from 2004.
Oh, Bad Blood. Oh, that was brutal.
Yeah, that was very, very huge because they were two guys that came up when I was a kid. And to know that not only were they the co-founders of DX, but they were part of the infamous clique, and then they just feuded with each other. Yeah, the forefathers of the two suites that are not called Bullet Club or The Club.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
All right, so let's continue on with it. All right, so these two, they were feuding for practically about 2 years, and it was time to just put a kibosh to it. And I thought, all right, what better way than Hell in a Cell? So these two went into the Hell in a Cell, and they just did what they absolutely did best, and that was put on the storytelling match that stole the show. And I couldn't have asked for any better.
It was absolutely iconic. Absolutely iconic. I mean, obviously, you had the traditional blood flowing down their faces, because that was the thing back then, of course. It was so many huge spots. Diving through the table from Sean as well, just for good measure. That was a who's. If you want everyone to see how you book the finish to a feud, that's a great example. I've got so many Hell in a Cell moments, so I'm going to get to most of them in this B-check. But for me, my favourite Hell in a Cell match, Zachary, I'm going to take a little guess, because I think most people know how I got into wrestling. So,
your favourite Hell in a Cell, and I've known you like a few years now, and that's kind of like up in the air. All right, tell me the truth. I don't have any
clue. It's a six-man Hell in a Cell from Armageddon.
What? I was thinking about that match earlier today. I didn't think that was actually your favorite of all time. Oh,
my favorite, because that was my first pay-per-view I watched.
What? That's your very first?
And you very first.
Watching Mick Foley versus Undertaker from King of the Ring?
I've gone back and watched all of that. But that was the first one I watched, and I've watched Rikishi climbing to the top of that cell and pushed. But the effect is going to be a choke slam off the cell. That lives with me forever. I wrote an article about it. My genesis of wrestling is that match, that moment. And also, to tie into your good cop moment, it's a feud ender. Literally, yeah, Triple H, Austin, Rock, Rikishi, Angle, Taker, all of the rivalries from that year were ended in that match. Apart from Triple H, Austin, which carried on a bit longer, but yeah. But it was the perfect way to blow off the end of the year. It was perfect. They've never done a six-man Hell in a Cell match since. They did that five-man one on Raw after the camera was shut off once, which Jack Swagger won.
don't remember that one.
It wasn't televised. It was a dark match to see if they could do it, pretty much. How quick they could put a cell up and everything. Apparently, it was like a nine-minute match inside Hell in a Cell, which should never happen, which I'll get to in
Bad Cop. Oh, wow.
I'll get to that in Bad Cop. time for the speed check then. What other moments from Hell in a Cell stand out to you in a good way?
I would say Triple H versus Undertaker from WrestleMania 28. That was a true moment where WWE showed that you don't need the blood. You can actually just have these two go inside and beat the living hell out of each other. What made that match, I would say, a little bit more memorable was the fact that Shawn Michaels was the referee. I'm still in awe nearly 10 years later. Like, excuse me? Shawn Michaels was the ref. They couldn't get anybody else, but it fit the mold. He feuded with both of them. He fought both of them in Hell in a Cell. Who better than him? And the fact that Undertaker won was the right call. But the fact that he actually will not retire until this year would be a crime. It would be a crime in a sense, because his body looked like it was more torn from that match alone than any other that he would have. But otherwise, Matt, I love that match so much. I actually watched that more than any other Hell in a Cell, and that includes the first one I ever told you about. Oh, man, oh, man, so many memories. And also, what got me into that match was the fact that WWE somehow, some way, got the rights to by Metallica.
Absolutely perfect. Absolutely perfect at the moment, definitely. I've got lots of little bits and pieces, but I do fully agree that that is, if you want another example of how a storyteller inside a Hell in a Cell looked at that match, because it had everything in it. It was perfectly told by three people who know this business better than anybody. Right. So, my quick moments are as follows. The debut of Kane. That's gotta be Kane! My God, that was so well done. The women's Hell in a Cell matches have been exciting to see because, you know, they're actually using innovation, obviously. And obviously, women show that you can wrestle inside Hell in a Cell, man or woman. Apart from when they decided to powerbomb from the side of the cage to the... Now I'll say, but it wasn't off the cell. It literally took them off and then powerbombed. It wasn't the same thing, but it, apart from that, it was good. And the Legacy versus DX Hell in a Cell match from 2009, where they, the innovation, the ingenuity, because why haven't no one ever locked someone out of a cell before? It was genius. It was the perfect strategy from Legacy. And Legacy would have won that match if they hadn't got cocky. It was genius. It was brilliant. The whole thing through, the storytelling, and it ended the feud, as your good self said a minute ago.
Oh, I agree. I agree. And it sucks to see where both Legacy members are, in a sense.
Well, in a sense, yes. I mean, but how you say that, Cody got his head knocked off by a super kick and a sledgehammer, and now he's got his own company. So I think
maybe... Oh, that's even better. That's even better.
So, you know, to be fair, they've both landed on their feet somewhere, and, you know, it's fine, I'm sure. Yeah, that's the good cop stuff done, then.
Good! Bad!
Are you looking for the newest and hottest in the world of pro wrestling? Then check out the amazing action on Powerslam.tv, the biggest indie pro wrestling channel in the world. Get over 6,000 hours of the best events from over 150 of your favorite promotions from 20 different countries around the globe. Brands like Progress Wrestling, Evolve Wrestling, Combat Zone, Defy, PCW Ultra, PWX, Over the Top, Shine, and hundreds of others with fresh content added every day for only $5.99 per month. Get your free trial today at powerslam.tv.
Good! Bad!
That now means we move to the bad cop stuff.
Ooh, so, all right. We can get to that. I've been waiting for this.
So, as I like to say, Z-Shy. What you got backup wise?
Oh, the most horrible, horrible Hell in a Cell, ladies and gentlemen, of all time. Undertaker versus Shane McMahon at WrestleMania 32.
Whew.
The worst. The worst. The match should have never happened. This was supposed to be, in my mind, Vince versus Shane. For control of Raw. It should have been those two alone. Why in God's name or in everything that's right with the world did they have to get Undertaker involved, who wasn't even feuding with Shane at that point? That still boggles my mind.
It makes no sense at all. At all. I can, and it's not only that, but I can also add to that a little bit as well. Because it's not only that. I mean, don't get me wrong, Shane's bump was impressive. Don't get me wrong. I mean, you've got to have some serious cojones to take that dive off the cell. But when you've got, and you can, if you go back and watch it, you can see this happening. Michael Cole at the announce table, standing up, holding a piece of paper, looking at it, reading and saying the words, "For the love of mankind." That, what they're trying to do there is they're trying to invoke the memory of the Foley dive, obviously. But I'm sorry, Jim Ross shouting, "I've got my witness, he's broken in half." That was off the top of his head and in the moment. Michael Cole clearly was reading that, knowing ahead of time what was going to happen. I'm sorry, but that is not the way you do a wrestling call. I've got my problem with Michael Cole, but yeah, that Hell in a Cell match is, yeah, terrible. Absolutely. I'm going to drop in here something which you actually brought up as your good cop moment, actually, because Hell in a Cell matches are great for ending feuds. But obviously, in recent years, Hell in a Cell have become a pay-per-view, obviously. I think the last 10 years or so.
Oh, Jesus.
Which means that sometimes you have Hell in a Cell matches being used as the first match in a feud. It makes no sense. Makes no sense to me. Hell in a Cell is called that because you're supposed to go through hell. Hell in a Cell, you finish things there. After Hell in a Cell, what have you got? You got nothing, if in my opinion. Hell in a Cell is where you literally, I mean, we've seen the matches over the years. I mean, it's a career-ending structure in some cases. Kevin Nash was never the same after his one of Triple H. Mind you, never much the same before it either. He had both quads walking down the ramp. It's not good when you see like Randy Orton versus Mark Henry, for example. But sometimes they're just really poor matches they put inside the cell. A couple of years ago, they had Randy Orton versus Jeff Hardy. Everyone was hyped for this because they thought it'd be great, and it was terrible.
Oh, Jesus. I heard about that match. I actually saw clips of that match. I said, oh, WWE, this is where you do not prove that you are a children's product right now. You are absolutely your audiences. Thank you for the reminder.
It wasn't the best pay-per-view in the world, that's for certain. Sometimes you get little glimmers out of like bad ones. I can't think of a bad women's match. They haven't had many, I grant you. There's a few other ones that stunk the place up over the years. What I will say is, and I know that Graham would want me to say this, for New Day versus the Usos, I know how much he hates New Day. For New Day versus the Usos, though, was one of the best Hell in a Cell matches ever. Because it told a story. I'm putting in Bad Cop because Graham would want it at the Bad Cop moment because he hates it. That's the only reason, though. Okay, right. So, we move now to the speed check section of Bad Cop. Have you got anything else you hate about Hell in a Cell matches? Or do you have any Hell in a Cell matches which stand out you as being terrible, apart from Shane O'Mac?
Oh, okay. Any Hell in a Cells that were just straight up horrible, that's worse than Shane O'Mac? I'm not saying that this match itself was horrible. I know the moment itself was very horrible and made me shake my head when I heard about it. I would say Randy Orton screwdriving Jeff Hardy's ear. That was a pivotal moment where WWE shown what I've been preaching for practically 5 to 10 years. They're not a children's product. They can be more so towards mature audiences. And I think that was that moment.
I remember being grossed out by it and Graham not caring too much about it because it wasn't the fingers being bent back, which he hates. But I've got a problem with a screwdriver being put for your earlobe. So go figure. Which one's more gross? I'm sorry, Graham. That is more gross. But, right. Time for me to throw out some speed check stuff. And this may take more than a minute, so I apologize in advance, Graham. Right. Okay, in recent years, the Red Cell. I'm sorry, I don't get it. I wish it was this Raw event, I'd understand, but the Red Cell for everybody, I'm sorry. It's hard to see through it sometimes with the camera. It's really hard to see. Speaking of which, in recent years, the DQ finishes in the Hell in a Cell. You can't have a DQ finish in a no-DQ match. It's not possible. Moving on to bad ones. The Undertaker hanging the Big Boss Man at WrestleMania 15 inside Hell in a Cell match. Who signed off on that? Seriously. And then you've got, of course, from Unforgiven 1999, the Kennel from Hell match. Which was for the Hardcore Championship between Al Snow and the Big Boss Man. Where the Big Boss Man had, in the build-up to this match, had killed, cooked and fed the dog Pepper to Al Snow.
That boggles my mind to this day, over 20 years later.
And the worst part about it is that the concept being like a steel cage match taking place inside the Hell in a Cell, and then having Rottweilers loose around the ring sort of thing, the dog couldn't have cared less. The dogs had wandered off, didn't actually do what they were told. I'm like, it was Unforgiven with a car crash of a pay-per-view in general that year, but that was a real car crash match, and the worst Hell in a Cell match, even worse than the match between Shane McMahon and The Undertaker, because at least you got some moments from it.
Oh, man, oh, man, oh, man.
That was I really got fired up with that one. I do apologize. That really, really fired me up.
Hey, and rightfully so. WWE at that point, they were quote unquote in their best era, but even then they wrote trash. So
the idea was sound, I suppose, but had they not actually thought about running that past a few people apart from Vince's mind? Because let's face it, Vince fell off a lot of crazy stuff.
Al Snow versus the Boss Man. I love their feud generally, but that inclusion of Pepper the dog and what happened to him.
Over the Hardcore Championship. I would like to point out the Boss Man wasn't the only thing Boss Man was included in that year. He also included the terrible angle with the Big Show, of course, later in the year, where they had a feud over the WWE Championship, ironically, by him crashing the Big Show's father's
funeral
and actually stole the coffin. I'm like, Boss Man just involved in really bad storylines, unfortunately, during his career, unfortunately.
Well, fortunately for the Boss Man, he beat The Rock for the number one contendership, so...
That's true, but at the same time, I'm like, wasn't a good angle, and best we move on.
Good! Bad!
I'm here to let you know about my podcast, Terrible Wrestling Takes. On here, I summarize wrestling how I see it, and more importantly, as it's given to us. And whether you're a good cop, a bad cop, or even a criminal, feel free to subscribe where all podcasts are found, and follow me at TW Takes Podcast on Twitter and Instagram.
Good.
So we'll move on to the unsure section. Now, this is the section, of course, where if that means we're not sure if it's good, we're not sure if it's bad, it's just something we're unsure about. So, Mr. Shiloh, what about the Hell in a Cell match? Are you not sure is good or bad?
Well, I'm unsure with Hell in a Cell. I don't know if New Day versus the Usos truly needed that edge to their feud because they were already good enough. But when I heard that these two teams were going into Hell in a Cell, I was kind of taken back a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, okay, here's two of the best tag teams on the planet. They've already tore each other up in no holds barred matches. It's not on the level of Triple H versus Shawn Michaels or even Randy Orton versus Jeff Hardy. But I'm still kind of meh on it to this day, but I understand. You need to actually have these two continue their feud, but somehow, some way, WWE thought, all right, let's get these two inside Hell in a Cell. And then months later, they're back together. So that's why I'm there.
That's fair enough. It's a fair opinion. I can see why you'd be unsure about it. I've got a few things. The main thing I'm going to set with, though, is the rule changes in Hell in a Cell. In some matches, it's you can only win by pinfall or submission inside the ring, and the referee and the announcers make that very clear throughout that matches. In some matches, in Hell in a Cell, you can win by pinfall or submission anywhere.
Oh, and I agree.
As proven with the Kevin Owens Shane McMahon match inside Hell in a Cell, where Kevin Owens got the pinfall on Shane after he crashed through the announce table. When Triple H got the pinfall on Chris Jericho after pedigreeing him on top of the cell, which is a great visual if you get a chance to watch it, by the way. Because the cameraman inside the cell is looking up, obviously, and you see Triple H.
Feel the camera in reverse.
And Triple H pedigrees
Jericho
face first into the metal. Jericho doesn't try and turn his head to the side. He takes that pedigree face first into the metal. And as you said, a Cody cam in reverse. It was phenomenal. Phenomenal. But I'm not sure if it was if it's good. They changed the rule depending on the storyline sort of thing. Because in the video games, you could play the Hell in a Cell matches, obviously. And you could pin on top of the cell. You can't anymore. And I'm guessing in next year's game that comes out, it will be again. So I'm not sure. But you can change it full count anywhere on the video game. But in Hell in a Cell, I think that you have to, I mean, prime example was with the six-man Hell in a Cell match. Jim Ross said very clearly, you have to win by pinfall in the ring. I'm like, for them, they're that very clear. And that before they brought the truck out to rip the door for sale. So, you know, I'm not sure if the rule change is always a good thing. It's just have one set of rules and stick with it. You haven't got to go outside the cell. So, and some of them don't. Nash and Nash and Triple H didn't, for example. Punk and Undertaker didn't. In fact, to be fair, most people don't go outside the cell nowadays. So they could keep the rules the same as like falls count anywhere sort of thing. Because let's face it, if you're able to get a pinfall outside the ring, within that little gap between the cell wall and the ring apron, then you're doing bloody well. So I'm saying I'm not sure it's a good thing they changed the rules, especially as I said earlier, especially if you can now have disqualification rules inside a no disqualification match. Go figure.
Now it actually brings up a very bad point, like you brought up. The fact that they changed the freaking cell to a red color and how they don't even use blood anymore doesn't make any sense. Like, how do you turn that cell red for no reason?
I'm guessing there is a reason. I just don't know it, unfortunately. Do you have any speed check unsure moments, sir? Or not really?
Any other...
good or bad? Yeah, any matches which stand out, I'm not sure if you like or not.
All right. Let's see. Hell in a Cell. I think to some degrees or another, they should have stopped it once the PG era went into full effect, because it felt like these cells stopped being feud enders and they just became beginning feuds or feud extenders. That's my final line on it.
That's fair enough. I've got two quick moments. The powerbomb on Kevin Owens from Seth Rollins out of the ring in the Hell in a Cell when he went through two tables. Great visual, but how is he not dead? I'm not sure. That's why it's not an unsure moment. I'm not sure how he didn't break his neck. And the other thing is, the trip to DX versus Luke Mans and the Big Show in a handicap Hell in a Cell match from Unforgiven 2006. I enjoyed it because it was nice, because who doesn't want to hit the boss on the head of a sledgehammer? But I'm, the reason why it's unsure is because we all had to see Big Show's ass. And bear in mind, Big Show's sweating quite profusely at that point, I imagine. And Vince has got open cuts on his face.
Oh, God.
I'm not entirely sure that's sanitary. But to be fair, if I was going to do it, I'm going to do it. The Vince McMahon would totally have done that just to get ratings. And let's face it, we all enjoyed seeing it, didn't we? We all enjoyed seeing Vince's face get shoved up his ass.
I was cracking up so much.
Pun intended.
I almost pissed my pants just laughing. Oh my God. Like, that is practically the funniest moment in Hell in a Cell history to me.
It was a perfect way to finish that feud, as you say. So in that way, it was a good feud ender. But at the same time, it was like,
hey guys, it's my turn for a change to do a pre-recorded piece for the show. Ref meets not be on Good Cop Bad Cop, but people who aren't in the loop, both myself and Chris recovering from COVID this week. Both tested positive and recovering at home. We are recovering, so we are getting there slowly but surely. But due to time recoveries, we can't. I can't be on the show this week. I hope to be back next week. Don't worry, Graham's taking care of things in his excellent way as he is, with an amazing guest. It was just too much late to be on. I wanted to talk to you guys about how people are still taking this world that we're now in so lightly. Over a year now, COVID-19 has been in the world, and I've been dodging it as best I can. Masks, keeping distance, not hugging people, not touching people, using hand sanitizers. I've been doing everything I can for fear of catching it. And it was scary avoiding it, but I tell you what, even scarier having it. And I caught it despite the fact I do everything I can to avoid people and everything else. Guys, please, I'm begging you out there. Me and Chris are lucky. Some people out there aren't quite so lucky. Even if it's not yourself, when you're out there and you're about, if you have to go out, hands, space, face. Please. Vaccines will get us through this, but we have to work together. Come on. Put a mask on and get through it. We got to. I've had enough of feeling like this. I'm sure the world has had a feeling like this. I'm scared every day that I'm going to wake up feeling worse than day four. I had a few days like that. There are some days when I thought I will take the option of not waking up. It was that bad. Only for a split second, but I felt it. Please, people, don't take these words I'm saying lightly. Wear a mask, you will save a life. Anyway, sorry to be a downer. I'm not sure if Graham's putting this at the start of the episode or in the opening agenda area, but guys, enjoy the show. And I'll be back next week. I'm out of here.
Good! Bad!
Right then, sir. It's devil's advocate time, which means that you will have to, for 20 seconds, defend a statement I give you without any denial of it. So, this is your subject to defend. For 20 seconds, you, Zachary Shiloh, if I say I mean you, I chose Hell in a Cell, but what I really wanted to talk about was bra and panties matches.
All right. So I chose Hell in a Cell, but I'd rather choose bras and panties because it's a quick match. We don't have to sit through this absolutely long. It's absolutely funny to actually watch women just get stripped down to their bare clothes. Not only that, but we get to just take ourselves away from the traditional world of pro wrestling. We could
At
just
time. That was close to the knuckle. Very, very well done, sir. Very well done. Do you have one for me, sir?
All right. I think I've come up with something that's like rather unique and regards to your relationship with WWE and your sexual preference a little bit.
Okay, go ahead.
All right. Well, you're a member of the LGBTQ community.
Proudly so, yes.
You love WWE.
I am.
All right, sir. Let's defend how WWE will go about bringing a LGBTQ World's Heavyweight Champion.
I don't think they need to. I think that the worst thing that Vince McMahon could do to WWE is by bringing in an LGBTQ wrestler. I mean, the fact that if he wanted to do that, he wouldn't have brought in Lars Sullivan. He wouldn't have brought in various people in the past who... this is really hard to defend. I can't. I tap out. I can't tap. I've got to tap out to that one. I wanted to believe that, but I couldn't. I'm sorry. Very well played, sir. Right, very well played. That was I will say that's a bit of a low blow, mate. Well played, though, sir.
My inner Graham right there.
that was a naughty one. That was a naughty one.
planogram. And I can hear him laughing right now. He's like, yeah, you channeled me right now.
He's either laughing or he's cringing, one of the two. Right. So
shall find out.
Okay. So, Zachary, thank you so much for joining me on this episode of Good Cop Bad Cop. Just got the Hell in a Cell matches. Why don't you tell everybody out there where they can talk to you, hear you, and get in touch with you?
All right. So, as Matt said, I'm one of his little proteges. I actually started off with him last year, and it was absolutely fun after, I would say, about a year or two of knowing each other, VFTR. It was by way of him and our dear friend Graham that I started a little podcast that I call Black Lions Airspace, which is the multidimensional realm where I talk laws of attraction, comics, combat sports, and more. And without these guys, the cops of visionaries, I would not be the podcaster that I am today. So
thank you.
You can listen to me on places like Spotify, Speakers, Stitches, Apple Pods, and other means. I do have a YouTube page, and it's under Zachary Shiloh. I am known as capital B, capital L, capital K, Lion 130 on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And please, just keep on supporting the visionaries. They are my original home for wrestling. That's given me more than enough places to really have gone to. And then one day, as I'm looking at my dear plus size brother's background, I would love to be part of Talk at the Table with Mags and Conrad, if that is ever still going on.
We'll see if we can make that happen. We'll see if we can make that happen.
Otherwise than that, I believe I've actually done this show called Good Cop, Bad Cop with both of you guys.
Not many people can say that. Not many people can say that they've been on with me and with Graham. So, props to you on that side of things.
It was always fun being on your separate shows as well. So thank you both.
On behalf of us all at Good Cop, Bad Cop, stay safe out there. On behalf of Zach and Michelle, we're out of here.
The music was Happy Happy Game Show by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com. Licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0. https://creativecommons.org/licenses/by/3.0/